Welcome to the next episode of the Rocks On podcast. Today we are greatly joined by the Rocks GM, Sean Skelly. Sean, how you doing?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well. Tired, it's been a long few weeks, but I'm good. I can't complain.
Perfect. Sean, I believe you want to start with like a quick announcement on a player joining us for the season.
Indeed, and the ink is barely dried, to be honest. So this is, you couldn't have got a more
hot take
on this. But we have just completed and finalised the signing of Murray Hendry after a successful trial period. So I can confirm that he'll be part of the squad this season.
Yeah, so that's Murray joining us for his second stint with the Rocks for this season. So that's fantastic to see another Scottish guy on the roster.
Indeed. So and it's funny to be this side of things after setting up so many of these conversations. It's nice to be on the show, actually. Yeah.
No, it's good. It's great. It's something I know we've spoken about before, maybe trying to get you on as maybe the season goes on, but maybe felt it's quite a good time to get you on the podcast, especially with fans returning. Maybe we'll touch on that, of what fans can expect coming back to the Emirates and stuff like COVID restrictions in place. So yeah, we'll hope have a good chat and hopefully the viewership will enjoy. So, Sean, first one, obviously you've been at the Rocks now roughly a year. How are you finding it? How are you finding being a member of the Rocks family?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I've been here over a year now. It was September 1st last year, right in the mire of things that I joined. So I actually managed, by the way, a full 12 months. Obviously, our pre-season was at the start of September, so I managed a full 12 months, a full calendar year, from no fans to no fans, which was a bizarre time, as you can imagine. I've worked in sport, obviously, for some years, so I'm used to being involved in events and stuff like that, but last year was absolutely bizarre. There's not really any other word for it. The atmosphere at the games, and I'm used to that kind of the ticket drive week to week, if that makes sense, where you're trying to push for tickets and fill the building and all that kind of thing. To not have that and the different types of pressures that was going on, and I mean, even things like we weren't able to do team events and things like that when the guys first came in. It was an absolutely bizarre year, but I've really enjoyed being part of the organisation. And I think we've hopefully put in a lot of, I mean, I think if you didn't spend the last 12 months kind of looking at how you can improve your business and all that kind of thing with everything that was going on, then I think you missed a trick. So we've spent the last wee while looking at everything top to bottom, to be honest, to see what we can improve, some of the things that we can do better. And yeah, I think that's all about to come to fruition, thankfully.
Amazing. And that, like I said, perfect to my next question. So this is as if you've seen this script, but you definitely haven't. So how is the club looking coming out of, like, obviously COVID, different restrictions? And yeah, what kind of place is the club in?
I mean, it's fair to say we're still in a slightly different, more awkward situation than the rest of the league, because, for example, the easiest one to point to is we're the only team that has to worry about face masks in the area and things like that. So it's still a slightly different culture up here to what, whenever the league's meeting or anything like that, it kind of conversations they're having. But no, it's far improved from any other, from the conversation from last year, put it that way. In terms of the club, were you meaning
just in general placing, like, yeah, let's say financially, because people like to hear that.
Of course they will. I thought they might. The club's in a good position. But we've spent the last year, I mean, let's put it this way, it's easy to see that last year survival was the priority. Not the intention. We didn't set out to have a bad year, but we certainly set out to have a year where we were carefully maintaining all of our budgets, heading into a strong position this year, which is obviously what we've done. We're back to our full import core and things like that as well. So it was carefully managed last year in a situation that right now we would be in the situation that we are with having the opportunity to have a really successful go at the year. So there's certainly no concerns or no issues that way, thankfully. I know there's been a little bit of turmoil between teams leaving and then actually teams re-entering the league on occasion under a different guise, but there certainly will be no issues with that ourselves.
Amazing. And I suppose that's a really positive thing for the fans, if you hear that the club's in a good place, kind of moving forward. I suppose we've seen quite a few teams invest quite heavily in the rosters last season. And I suppose two of them are maybe ones that are gone by the wayside. So it's a great to see the Rocks in a maybe a stronger foothold going forward post 2020, isn't
Indeed.
it?
Indeed, and it's shown, and we've spent a lot of work putting into revenue generation and things like that that will help the club going forward. Obviously, we hired a business development manager, and as of today, hot again, more hot off the press news, we've got a title sponsor for the Glenlust Glasgow Rocks. It's things like that that are really going to help us, particularly when we are in a situation where we're if we're wanting to compete at the top, we're one of the teams that does not own our own arena and have all the revenues from hot dogs and beer and all that kind of thing as well.
It makes a lot of money.
It helps a long way. So
makes
so
a lot of money.
It does indeed. It really does. So we need to try and make ourselves as commercially successful as possible. And that's why we looked into that role. And Mikael's came in. I think he's three, four months in the job. I mean, obviously today's a big successful announcement for him, but there's been a lot going on beyond that as well. So it's a good time. And as you can see, another just worth going through only today's, it sounds like I'm going weeks conversation, but only today's announcements. But we've got a lot of new sponsors, for example, in the kits that were launched as well for today. And some of them are really great sponsors, not just financially for us, but that are involved. For example, Fun Street are feeding the players around game day. So they're a game day food provider. So the guys arrive at training, they'll get fed, and it's really healthy stuff. It's ducket salad. It's specifically made and put together for athletes pre-game, post-game as well, and when we're travelling on the road and stuff like that. So we've put quite a lot of effort into what we refer to anyway as our player package, if that makes sense.
Gone are the days of players turning up to the arenas and with McDonald's and KFCs, I suppose.
That wouldn't be accepted anymore.
So, Touch, next one. How does this, obviously, how does this pre-season compare to last one? Obviously, massively, I suppose.
We had one.
Well, yeah.
we literally never had one last year at all, I believe. From my memory anyway, I think we launched straight into it.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose that's a big step.
No, but it was great. It was obviously, we tried something a little bit different and it worked, but we might tweak it a wee bit going ahead in the Scottish Invitational. We wanted to try and do some things with Scottish basketball and get more involved with the culture in Scotland and invite some of the teams along. I say invite, obviously we used the top, well, six of the top seven from the National League and get involved with their... I know it's standard that we kind of play Falkirk every year and we ended up playing them, but I think it's quite cool to open it up to the bigger community as well, and Edinburgh teams and Dunfermline and all that kind of thing as well. So no, I thought that was really cool, and Basketball Scotland works with us quite a lot as well to put that together, and they've assisted with, they did some referee development and things like that there. So it was a really good kind of cultural thing for Scottish basketball, really, because there's not been anything from, particularly at the national level and stuff like that, there's not been anything for so long. So it was really good to kind of be part of the relaunch of Scottish basketball.
Love that. I think that's what, it's kind of just lining up the whole sport, the whole pathway that's potentially there for someone going from junior amateur through to the professional ranks. I think that's a fantastic way.
Yeah, and it gave us an opportunity to kind of see what's there in the National League and things like that as well. We've put quite a lot of, it's not, the pathway that we've got set is not 100% finalised. I hope, hopefully by the end of the season we'll have a bit more information on what it looks like, because we put a lot of effort into it. But obviously we've got Kelvin College Academy, this, which is the start of that pathway. We're hoping to lengthen and develop that as well. So no, I think you'll see a lot more strengthening of the kind of roots that we've got into Scottish basketball. And it's guys like Kevin Pringle and Barry Lang who've been a great assistance to us from Basketball Scotland, and that as well as our partners at the college, University of West of Scotland, as well. So no, there's a lot of news hopefully to come down the line in terms of player pathway and stuff. But it was great just to see what was out there, to be honest. Either it was guys like Fergus Hart and stuff like that as well that was part of the roster last year, and Kieran Allen and things like that. So it was good to see them again.
Good. I suppose, obviously, you've said big announcements today of the kit launching and obviously the type of sport in Glenlust. In my opinion, the kits are both fantastic. I love the away one.
Thank you.
But it's been interesting to hear, obviously, we've spoke before about like kind of like what's behind the kind of kit design before, but it'd be good to hear from you. What's kind of the message being sent, or the kind of the reason behind what the kits were chosen for this year?
Yeah, of course. I mean, the home one's a nice, easy one to talk about to start with. It's our colour. It's what we, in fact, it's, you can see, obviously, the listeners won't, but it's over my shoulder right now, the navy colour. So that we started off with that. We just looked for a cool design. We had a look through some historical stuff that we'd done. I should say we. I've got a kind of group of friends, actually from back in the clan days, a guy called Chris Ward and David McLeod. Chris actually done the design, and the two of us all kind of looked at it. It was just through a process of looking at what worked, what was nice, what was done well in the past, what might be nice to go back to. And obviously we started, everything had to be that colour. So that was it. And the rocks across the chest, because you don't need to wear Glasgow at home, was the thought process. It's more that for away, which we'll go into in a second. So we wanted to wear the rocks across the chest because that's who we are. The away was obviously a little bit different. We get a wee bit more freedom to try things. We actually had, and I might release them actually, because I think folk will find it really interesting. We had something about, I want to say, 15 to 20 designs made up. Now, it was the one design, just loads of different colours, really. There was a few different things we'd tried. I might release them at some point because they're quite interesting, some of them. And it was just a process of that one's like, we went down to maybe 5, then it went down to 3, and it went down to that one. And we really liked, obviously, the thought of we're representing Glasgow, we're representing Scotland, and it started all with that. So we tried to include some sort of Glasgow elements in it, and the willow font, the willow typeface is an example of that, and then the name bars look really cool in some of the guys as well with that. The kind of orange colour, obviously it's in the ball of the logo, we use that for the neck area and the ends of the collar and stuff like that. The trim, that's the word I'm looking for, we use that on the trim. And then we were thinking still of what ways can we get beyond having the word Glasgow across the chest, what else can we do? And we actually happened to be stumbling across kind of different design elements. And one of them that we caught on to was the SPT kind of inner and outer circle, which has got a really nice grey colour around it as well. Yeah. And everyone in Glasgow basically has used the subway at some point in their life. So we thought it might be good to kind of link up with them. We sent them a message saying, look, we're looking at doing this, would you help us with the launch, take some photos, you know, that kind of thing. And they have actually helped support the launch as well. So it was as simple as that. And it's a big, it's kind of a Scottish landmark as well. I mean, everyone goes for kind of the is it the Duke of Edinburgh? I feel like I'm quoting the wrong person, but the guy with the cone in the head. Everyone goes for
Duke of Wellington.
The Duke of Wellington, well done. Duke of Edinburgh is, of course, not. the Duke of Wellington, correct. You can cut that one out, please. we'd looked at different things, but I think the subway is kind of underappreciated. It's one of the most historic, I think, I'm sure, after Moscow and London, I think it's the third oldest subway in the world. It was quite something quite cool, and I thought it was kind of more inner city. We wanted to do that for the away kit. And then, as I say, with you would have seen with the photo shoots as well, the photo shoots that were done as well. The home kit was kind of, we wanted that more kind of outdoor look. Glenlis is, I mean, the pictures look photoshopped. I can promise you they're not. Like, there's some ones that we actually can't use because it looks like we've just cut the guys out and put them in front of a backdrop. It's so beautiful there. It's so picturesque. But they're not photoshopped. I can promise you that. Lis is just absolutely gorgeous. We wanted something a bit different than that. So it was then our city kind of Glasgow stuff, and then for the rock stuff, we wanted more kind of mountains in the background and all that kind of thing. So that's the kind of top-down idea of how it all came together. But a lot of the feedback, honestly, it's Chris Ward and David McLeod, two of my friends, who are absolutely design nuts, and like they grew up kind of drawing football jerseys in school and during breaks and stuff like that, so that they won't mind me saying this, they're kind of jersey nerds, and it's a lot of the thanks is to go to them, to be honest.
Amazing. No, they're two great looking kits. I really like the design on the away one especially. I think I'll maybe be purchasing that one.
Good man.
So let's touch on Glenlis, title sponsor for the club this year. How did that come about, and what do they bring to the Rocks family?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great deal. We're expecting it to be not just a single year deal as well, because I think it's not great if you do a name sponsor that changes every year. So it's important for us to kind of tie things up longer term. So for one, it's longevity. It's a big title sponsor. It's a big sponsor financially for us. But as the PR maybe alludes to, the guys are just so they get basketball and they get what we do and they get the community aspect of it all, and it's a cool Scottish brand. I just think it was a really cool tie-up for us. And it's not just a brewery. They do have like a restaurant and stuff like that there as well. So it's not just a like an alcohol sponsor, because we would have, I know, again, I'm flipping the Carling over my shoulder, but we look at every sponsor individually and we have to make a decision of, is it appropriate, if that makes sense. But there's a lot more to Glenlust than it being purely an alcohol sales as well. So it brings a lot. How it came about was simply Mikhail, the business development manager, he knew the guy from his previous work, and he'd done a bit of work with, and he just hit him up, so to speak, and said, look, do you want to come along, see what we're all about? We invited him along to the Emirates, schmoozed him a bit, as you do, showing him everything. And then, yeah, they loved it and they got it. It was simple as that. So it was relatively straightforward after that. Once you get them, get the bug, as it were, which they seem to have caught, it was a matter of just getting all the everything finalised, basically. But it's one of the, I don't think I'm saying this, I'm pretty certain I'm right, actually. It's one of the biggest sponsorship deals in the club's history.
Amazing. Ideal. Great going out, coming out with obviously all the restrictions and financial pressures as well, that having a company so keen and so, as you say, get it is so important going forward absolutely. As well. So amazing to have them part of the Rocks family, Glenlust. So check them out. Next question then. So for the organisation, how exciting is it to have just fans coming back to the Emirates? And then what COVID restrictions, you touched on it earlier, are we going to still have in place going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say too much going forward. I'll answer the first question first. It's absolutely brilliant to have fans back. I mean, I've had a taste of what it's like even just from the pre-season, and it's the atmosphere. To say it's better is irrelevant. It's obviously better, but it's just entirely different. Even for the guys, I spoke a bit to them last year about motivation, and when you're going to take that free throw, is what's the, how you feeling and all that kind of thing, and it definitely had a left its mark on the players last year for sure, for good and for bad. I suppose you can make an argument that it's easier when you're doing these away trips and harder at home when you've not got your own fans backing you, but it definitely left its mark. But to be honest, it last year was, if I was to describe it as an experience, which not many got, because it was really limited, the numbers we were allowed in, and I include press in that, was limited. It was not far off a few kids knocking a ball about in a games hall. It wasn't an event like it is now. There wasn't the seating out, there wasn't this and that. There was, the boards and stuff like that, but it wasn't far off if you were to go and watch some 10-year-olds that, and you hear the squeaking of the shoes and you hear the odd shout, but it wasn't far off that. So to have, I mean, you can imagine, you can picture that and then have an idea of what the Emirates is going to look like on Sunday. It's night and day. In terms of COVID guidance, it's for us, really, it's making sure that we're educating and allowing people to make their own choices as well. So we've got there is a statement, I'll put it out again, actually, I'll get us to put it out, but there is a statement on the Rocks website that goes through everything, if you're wanting the detail. But it's mostly, at the moment, all the guidance we're getting is, of course, making sure that your track and trace is active, making sure that where possible you're socially distancing, making sure that you're using hand sanitizer where you can. It can be summarized, to cut a long story short, by common sense. Masks in transit is really, really important. Wearing masks when you're in transit is something we're going to double down on as well. Mask must be worn when in transit, for certain. That's one thing we're going to be very particular about, and stewards have been briefed on. But as I say, it can be left as, please have some common sense, to cut a long story short. If you can have some distance between people, then go for it. If that kind of thing. The seating plan, one of the reasons, and probably an interesting topic to kind of lean into, one of the things that we were very aware of is that there was the potential for almost the entire season or off-season for us to have to put a seating plan in place, which is one of the reasons that we couldn't commit to season tickets, because we didn't know if we were going to be told had to be 1 meter distance, had to be this, had to do that. We have to close this section. We have to limit this. And we're working on a limited capacity, obviously, for the pre-season. So it's only, this will be the first game on Sunday that we're actually allowed to have capacity. Because of that's the main reason, because we didn't want to have a situation where we're having to move hundreds of people for games and all that kind of thing. And I understand that it's not a great situation to not be able to offer season tickets. It's not great from the club perspective anyway, because obviously you're not getting that kind of cash flow up front kind of thing. But it was we spent quite a long, we don't make decisions on the fly, we really don't. Some people think we do, but we spent quite a long time deliberating it all, and for many, many reasons, we thought that was the safest and best option for everyone. It allows us to react to things. It allows us to do things. So it was the best option that we came from. But I do understand people's frustration, and that's why, in fact, that after this this call, a lot of people are about to get it. That's why we've offered the pre-sale, which is at least something that we can guarantee 24 hours, depending on how it all is, that the season ticket holders will get first access to the seating map to be able to pick their seats. That was the best option I could think of to kind of combat it a wee bit. So that's what we've got in place for season ticket holders, that it had not just the COVID year, but the year before when we were top of the league, will get access to a pre-sale where they can go in and hopefully get access to their seat. I know it's not quite the same as having a season ticket seat, but it was the best we could really offer, whilst also having the ability to be reactive to a lot of changes, which it's easy saying it now because things are starting to hopefully die down again, obviously infection rates and deaths and stuff like that. But, I mean, everyone was very, very relaxed 2 months ago and then not relaxed at all 1 month ago. So it is really such a quickly changing situation that we felt and prioritised the ability to be able to react to everything. So that was the thought process behind that as well. I know I went into something else there, but I thought it was...
No. And I think that's important to understand. It's obviously a basketball season goes across many, many months, and you've made the decision to be proactive that allows you to be reactive. Whereas if exactly. you set everything else up, it would have been a lot more hassle and difficult the longer term. In case things that change, let's be honest, things have changed so much over the last 18 months that I think from obviously knowing how things go in the past, from conversation you have, I think that's the cleverest and smartest way for everyone. So I think it's...
We don't want this to be the situation at all. And absolutely. I can't wait to go back to proper season tickets and all that kind of thing next year, which hopefully won't be an issue. But yeah, it was the decision, the only decision we really felt we could have made, particularly at the time, because there's ways of doing it, I'm sure, but you don't make a decision to make season tickets one day and then they're available the next day. There's quite a lead-in time to getting everything set up and all that kind of thing. It's not like you click your finger and do it. So you have to make that decision quite early as well.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, final couple questions then, and we can let you get on. It's currently 7:30. We're filming this on Wednesday, the 22nd, and Sean knows that he's got till 10 o'clock to get out of the Rock's office. So,
and I'm worried I might not be able to make it out for
that. He might be doing an all-nighter, so he will kind of roll it up soon. So let's touch back on it. What should the fans really look forward to this season, both on and off the court?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to say for many reasons where we'll be in terms of competitively, but I think if you look at the roster, we'll get some incredibly exciting players coming along, and I'm particularly excited myself about Jordan Johnson. I know he had obviously a knock in pre-season, which meant he had to sit out the Cheshire tournament, but he's got excellent pedigree. He's won the G League. He's actually won every team he's played for. So if that's not a good sign, I don't know what is. And I think the roster, albeit a relatively tight roster that we've put together, I think that these guys will demand and deserve minutes that we've got. So I think it's a really competitive roster. Gareth's got a mindset, and I'll let him, I know we're going to get him on soon, so I'll let him talk more about what he's looking for from his team and what he's wanting the identity of the team to be, if that makes sense. But he's certainly got a philosophy that he's working towards, which I think will excite a lot of the fans.
Amazing. I think as having a rock team with a bit of identity and a bit of a style and class.
Exactly. And basketball is exciting. Basketball is cool and exciting. So that's how it should be here at the Emirates. And I've probably not even touched on something that's important as well, is our Scottish core that we've got between Gareth himself, Fraser, Johnny, and obviously a big returnee and Ali Fraser as well. So we've got a really good core of Scots coming through, along with their aforementioned new signing in Murray Hendry.
Amazing. Sean, thanks very much for joining me this evening on the Rocks On podcast. Good luck with the weekend, good luck with the season, and we'll catch up soon with the Rocks On podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'll definitely be on again at some point.